This morning we're joined by Dr. Rachel Franks from the Dictionary of Sydney crew with a most excellent crime story. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you going today?
I am well. Have you had your coffee?
I have. Caffeinated. Ready to go.
I love it. Oh my God. Okay. Get us. What is this crime story? Yeah.
Most excellent sounds a little bit terrible, but it is one of, I think, the most fascinating crime stories from colonial Sydney. So one of my absolute favourite letters in the collections at the State Library was written by a wool merchant, Joseph Whitehead, and he's writing in 1838 to his uncle, still in England, and he describes Sydney as, without exception, one of the most wicked places under the sun, with murders, suicides, robberies, innumerable pride, hypocrisy, lying, backbiting, drunkenness and debauchery without end. So Sydney, you know, has a bad rap, but there wasn't so much crime that a particularly dreadful murder still couldn't bring the city to a standstill. So this particular murder was committed by John Knatchbull, and he murders Ellen Jamieson, who's a widowed shopkeeper, and he does that in 1844, generating one of the biggest crime stories of 1800 Sydney. So he's a bloke who today we would say is known to police, you know, he's born into a good family, but he makes one bad decision after another. Like, the guy just can't choose the right path.
No.
So he's in and out of trouble, and in late 1843, he's engaged to a widow, Harriet Craig. Now, he works out that he doesn't have the money to pay for the wedding ceremony.
Okay.
So, you know, a standard person would sort of say, I might borrow some money or I might put things off for a bit. But he decides to rob Jamieson, this shopkeeper, and she's in Erskine Street, which is kind of a little bit behind where Wynyard Station is now. And when the robbery goes wrong, instead of panicking and just running away, he attacks her with a tomahawk.
Oh, God. Okay. I mean, of all the options and that moment. Okay.
Yes. So not a great decision. So she's attacked by him on the 6th of January in 1844, but she doesn't die until the 18th of January.
Oh.
And when she does pass away, everybody knew about this story in Sydney, and suddenly there are two more orphans, and people are absolutely outraged. And the newspapers were only too happy to oblige this fascination with a man who came from a noble family and found himself a murderer on the other side of the world. And he kind of keeps making news. So he secures the services of a barrister by the name of Robert Lowe, who is brilliant but slightly bonkers. So Lowe decides that he's going to test the idea of insanity for the first time in an Australian court.
Oh,
and
wow.
He argues that insanity of the will can live separately from insanity of the mind. And basically he's saying it was a temporary insanity and Knatchbull could not be held accountable for his actions. The jury really wasn't having any of that. And even though there were some problems with the trial, you know, it takes place in a day, they couldn't find all the witnesses. Knatchbull said the judge already hated him before he walked into the courtroom. So it wasn't unproblematic. But the jury, in one of the most shocking outcomes of a courtroom in Sydney at any time, they don't even leave the box to deliberate. There's none of this polite, oh, we'll leave the courtroom and retire to consider the evidence carefully as good civic jurors that we are. They stay put and they just say he's guilty.
Wow.
Which is, well, obviously disappointing for our man Knatchbull, but everybody was so obsessed with this crime and the court case and him as an individual. You know, there was...
Yeah, I guess it's that fall from grace thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, it's, you know, there's such a thin line between... well, not such a thin line, but, you know, making the, like you said, he just made wrong decision. And I almost feel like it sounds like wrong decision. One, the first initial wrong decision was maybe not that wrong, but it then just let it pushed the boundary to the next wrong decision. That was maybe a little bit more wrong. And then he ends up attacking a woman with a tomahawk, which is really wrong.
Really, it's the complete slippery slope of, you know, the lurid career of crime. And he is. He's held up as an example to young people to not take a good education for granted, to always think about doing the right thing, and to poorer children as well, that, you know, if you do the wrong thing, it doesn't actually matter who you are or what your background is, you are going to be punished.
Yes.
And everybody was so keen on this particular punishment. But, I mean, you picture Sydney in the 1840s. It's a walking town, right? Nothing's really that far from anywhere else. So to walk from anywhere in town to Darlinghurst is, you know, just a little trot. But when he is hanged at Darlinghurst Jail, what's not normal is 10,000 people walk from every direction in Sydney to watch him hang.
Oh.
So it's this huge crowd, and the newspaper reports are really graphic, talking about heaving swarms of people that gathered to see the final act of the law and how deserved it was. It's
it's making my spine tingle. Ooh.
It's a really brutal story, but, you know, I think that's why I always think of this as a most excellent crime story, because there are so many different components to it that make it actually quite extraordinary. It's not a sort of run-of-the-mill crime that could have happened in any street in any city. It's a really very specific crime and a very specific set of circumstances.
It's like a dramatic movie almost. I can see it's the cinematography of it all. And even just from the opening letter, the description that you gave in that, and then, you know, following the path of this man through to the final climax. Oh my goodness, Dr. Rachel Frank. Well, that is a way to kick off our Wednesday mornings.
A wicked Wednesday.
A wicked Wednesday. Hey, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.